time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
By the way, I have a new thought. So, you know, we just talked about this reported intervention that CBS had with Tony Romo this past offseason.
The big intervention.
The big meeting of the minds. I think they need to alter their approach this offseason if they want to have intervention part two.
With everyone? Like with all the talent or just Tony Romo specifically?
With just Tony Romo.
Okay.
If they did not do a good enough job illustrating their point to Tony Romo, I think what they do this offseason, you get Sean McManus back on the jet, you fly out to Tony's home, you take him out to dinner, but you bring someone with you. Any idea who that person is that they should bring with him to show Tony maybe the mistakes that he's making?
Bill Belichick. You go from someone who talks a lot in Tony to someone who talks very little in Bill, and maybe you meet in the middle somewhere.
Nope. You need to bring someone that is a chatterbox, that all he does is talk, and doesn't make sense to kind of make the point that if you just keep on talking, run on sentence after run on sentence, it gets a little bit difficult for the viewer.
Talks and talks makes no sense.
The answer's like right underneath your nose right now.
How? I mean, I had a feeling this joke was kind of boomerang its way back. Is it myself?
How is it you?
Saying it's under my nose. You saying like it's like, oh, you're not talking about me.
It is literally underneath your nose right now.
Oh, I see. Smart. Jerry Jones.
Ah, you used your brain a little bit. First off, I don't think you talk in circles.
We're going to say, like, oh, it's right underneath your nose. So I thought you meant, like, you know, my physical body. I'm like, and then makes no sense.
You may feel that way at 3:30 a.m. So, when you're struggling to stay awake when you're hosting
true.
Your show.
I've been a few times, like, what am I? I didn't even know what I said the last 10 minutes.
Been there, done that, where you basically feel like you fell asleep on the air, but you didn't. You go, what the heck is the point I'm making when I'm up at this crazy hour of 4:30 a.m. Eastern? But it's 1,000% Jerry Jones. I think you bring Jerry Jones to this meeting, and you have him just and it's like, what did this guy just bloviate about? What did he just say?
Here's CBS execs. You just sit back, put the feet on the table, and say, Jerry, the next 3 hours are all yours.
When you go into the forest and you cut your hand, it's not your bachelor degree, or it is your bachelor degree, that helps you figure out how to put that hand back together. It's not your master's degree. Remember that? And that's how you know to get a contract done. And it was like, what did he just say?
It's a good point. Yeah, that was Dak's contract, right?
Yeah. I guess he was making the point at the time that it's the experiences from all those years ago, not what you're just studying in the moment and getting like the direct individual education. That's not what helps you in all roads of life. It's the initial things that you learn when you're getting your bachelor's degree, the basics. I guess that's a point he was making. I have no clue, though, still to this day.
That's Jerry Jones for you. I wonder what he thinks he like sounds like in his own head. He probably thinks he makes perfect sense, obviously.
But everyone has that friend, right? That, like, when they walk in the room, you're like, there's no getting out of this conversation. This person just talks. That's what I think Tony Romo needs to realize is that when you're on the broadcast, it's going to be quick. And I think Jerry Jones would perfectly illustrate that because they'd be out for dinner, and after 2 minutes, he'd be like, what's my good friend Jerry saying? Maybe that's where he learned it from with all those years being in the Cowboys organization. And he doesn't even know he's doing anything wrong.
Right. He's just listening to Jerry in every meeting, every practice.
Sean McManus. Hi, Zach here. You may or may not know me. You just got free consulting advice. You can find it in your heart. Send a little charitable check to me. I'll take it. But I think that's the best advice this new intervention is going to get if they have another one this year. Can you have another intervention here?
You can, but just not call it an intervention or make sure if it's being leaked out that it's definitely not called an intervention and maybe just a meeting.
That's the other thing. Who leaked this stuff out? That's a bad job, whoever leaked this out.
Well,
people on the broadcast team that want him to be better?
Could it be CBS, and maybe he's not listening, or maybe he's just not, you know, motivated, yeah. And now it's almost like you got to do the old public shaming?
Now, here's the thing. That contract, we don't know the specifics of it, but I would imagine it's fully guaranteed. Not like you could have the dead cap go down after a few years and then just cut the fat.
That's true. It's not like CBS is also just ready to... What was it? I forget the actual overall deal. Is it 100 mil?
180 million.
180?
Over 10 years.
Just they're rolling just, all right, 180, out the window. See you later. Bring the next guy.
And I forget how many years in we are. Is this 2 years
in? I think
it was
2020. It was when he, after the 2020 season, I believe.
So we just wrapped up year number two?
I believe so, yes.
Gotcha. Who would even replace Romo if they wanted to replace him?
Maybe Greg Olsen.
Yeah, he could be on the back to the two team soon.
And Drew Brees, I mean, if he needs a coach or if he's not coaching.
Charles Davis is a great job.
Charles Davis is tremendous.
I'm a big fan of Charles Davis.
Already on the staff, so just promote him.
Also, could we, maybe not for the A team, but could we get some more love for our guy Ross Tucker? Get him in the TV booth a little bit more?
Sure. And just great job on radio. He's everywhere on radio. Yeah, let's get him on the TV.
And Ross Tucker owes me everything. Because I let him into the press box early and had him cut the entire security line. So
if Ross blows up into like Tony Romo 2.0.
Well, no, I'm not
and
even
you
asking
are
that.
A guy who does Ross Tucker a favor early on, you
Ryan,
are living large.
He thanked me in the press box again.
That's what I'm saying. Well, that's...
I was just being kind. I was like, oh, Ross, I know you got to get on the air soon. Cut the line. Cut the 15 people. Get right in. You're Ross Tucker. We're a bunch of like schmucks here in the media. You're Ross Tucker.
Working overtime.
But he thanked us on the air. And then when I saw him in the press box, he thanked us again. So if we could just get Ross Tucker on like the D team for television games.
You're set.
We're part of his entourage.
You could be like a spotter.
Screw that.
Security guard.
Spotter. You and I just go. Tuck spreads. We drink and eat everything. And we just sit there and we just watch Ross Tucker work his magic.
Could be a security guard on the line. Like, you know, there's security and there's Ross's security.
Yeah.
Step away, everybody. Clear the line.
I'm Ross's publicist, everyone.
Talent coming through.
All right, let's get to Jerry Jones. He says he is hesitant. What are you waiting for? To go all in for a Super Bowl.
Anybody that thinks I won't take a chance has misread the tea leaves. Okay? But I do think longer term, and I'm real hesitant to bet it all for a year. And there's a lot of things that can happen for that year. In essence, we're seeing a couple of teams that have had some real success putting it all out there and paying for it later in Philadelphia and Los Angeles. Don't think that doesn't pop my head and get my eye as far as doing it, and I know how to do that. My general experience has been that if you will stay aggressive, I'm talking about whether it's on the field or off the field. If you'll stay aggressive, but then pick your shots with risk-taking. And I've spent a lot of time in my life doing that. When they cut me open, it will be all those scars, heart attacks, for all the risks I took and the years I spent paying for them. Mm-hmm. And so my point is that I do know how to take risk. They're absolutely right. We have been in the middle here for a few years. I like where we are right now, more in the middle. Given an opportunity, if it makes some sense, I've definitely got risk-taking in me.
What the bleep is Jerry Jones talking about? The most the Eagles have gone since 1995 and missing the playoffs is three straight seasons. There was a time where the Cowboys have missed the playoffs four straight times. When you look at 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2013. So it's not like the Eagles ever had this down period because they went all in to try to go get a Super Bowl. And, oh yeah, by the way, the Eagles won a Super Bowl in 2017, then made the playoffs, and now we're back in the Super Bowl. So I don't get his point of bringing in Philadelphia. And if you want to say, oh, we don't want to be like the Rams that go all in and then have a bad year, well, that's nice of you to say, but here's the part you're missing. You don't get to pick how you win a Super Bowl when you can't win a Super Bowl since 1995. Your team since 1995 has not got to an NFC title game. And what are you waiting for? You're 80. When are you going to be aggressive? When you're 99? What is he talking about? That makes no sense. This is just Jerry Jones once again. I'm not in the party, so I got to basically invite myself into the party, make myself a story, because he runs the drama Dallas choking Cowboys, so you need the drama. And I'm going to say something that absolutely makes zero sense. What the heck is he talking about there? Oh, Philadelphia went all in. Yeah. Philadelphia 60 minutes away, Jerry, from winning a Super Bowl. You haven't been close to doing that in 30 years. And they also won a Super Bowl a few years ago. And so what? If you're the Rams, you win and then you lose. I'm sure Jerry Jones would rather win and then have a terrible season and not even come close to stiffing the playoffs as long as you win the Super Bowl. This is a guy that in one training camp was practicing lifting up a Super Bowl trophy. But he's methodical. He's building for the long term. You've been building for nearly 30 years and you haven't won jack. Hickey, I'm lost here on this one. I'm confused. I don't get what he was doing there.
I actually thought Jerry wanted to win a Super Bowl. Like, I thought that, like, he would, like that is his, like, life's mission. And if he wins one more, forget the others he won. Like, he would die a happy man if he gets one more now. And the end of the clip, he's like, yeah, we're in the middle. I'm happy being in the middle. And it's like, oh, I'm afraid to, like, actually go all in. But I'm not afraid. But I am afraid. That doesn't work. But it does work. But I'm not afraid. But I am afraid. It sounds like Jerry just is, it's to me, it's like he is someone who
he's worn
likes
down.
The fact that they're in the mix every year in the playoffs. Probably will never have the strongest team, kind of like the Packers. But he likes kind of being in the dance and like kind of flirting with the idea, but never actually putting the best team on the field to actually win the Super Bowl.
And then the part that I didn't get the end where he's talking about when they cut me up, you'll see that I'm a risk taker and all that. But you're talking about being like hesitant to go all in. So
conservative, yes.
I don't get it.
Isn't that classic, Jerry? Speaks out of both sides of his mouth.
Talks in circles.
He's saying he started, I'm not afraid to take risk. Then all of a sudden, I'm hesitant, though, about going all in. He's a walking contradiction.
Let's go from Jerry Jones to Stephen Jones. Stephen Jones says Dak Prescott will be the Cowboys QB for the long haul.
Dak's going to be our guy for the next, hopefully, 10 years. And you say, well, that's a long time because he's already played, you know, six, seven. But I think Dak will play that long. And he takes care of himself. He's driven to be great. And fully expect him to be here for 10 years.
Did you hear the nervous laugh by Stephen Jones in there? Hickey, did you catch that?
I actually did not.
Play it again. Listen carefully.
Dak's going to be our guy for the next, hopefully, 10 years. And
right there.
You say, well, that's a long time.
You can end the clip now. Played. He knows that he can't even say that with a straight face. Like, he's going to be our quarterback for the next 10 years. Yeah, sure. Jeez. The Jones family, they always know how to make a headline. They always know how to put their foot in their mouth. They know how to do that, Hickey. That's what I'll give them credit. They always win the press conference.
Can I ask you a very random question?
Yes.
I picked this up when I was cutting this audio. Stephen Jones is obviously Jerry Jones' son.
Yes.
Stephen calls his dad Jerry. Is that weird? I know they're in a professional setting, but he was talking about, you know, me and Jerry like this, me and Jerry going to look at that. I'm like, huh. That's it. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't call my dad Bob.
He's like in his 50s, right, or 60s. So it's not like he's, you know, young and talk about your dad. I was like, that was kind of interesting. Like, you know, I know their business, I don't call them partners, but, you know, they work together for the Cowboys. So I don't know if it's, you know, he just feels a pride thing calling him dad and wants to call him Jerry because he wants to sound himself more important. But that was interesting to me.
Yeah, I've never even thought about it that way.
But you're right. I just was listening to him.
Like, for example, if I worked with my dad, like on this show,
would you say, "Hey, Bob, can you cut that up?" Or, "Hey, Dad,
I don't think I would say, Bob,
can you grab that?" Or, "What do you think, Dad? What do you think, Bob?"
Imagine, "Hey, Bob, can you grab that?"
Hey, Bob,
I'm not getting off my fat ass to go get something.
Bob, my food's downstairs. Mind grabbing it?
Hey, go get me a Diet Coke, you chump.
Well, good to know. I guess your dad's never working for you ever. That is, cross that one off the list.
Hey, Bob. No, I don't think I'd call him Bob. The only time I called my parents by their first name is if you're in a public setting and you're trying to get their attention. Instead of just hearing someone, everyone, like Tom, Dick, and Harry say dad or mom, you're like, Lori, Bob, just so they turn their head around and know that you're talking to them. That's probably it. Do you call your parents by their first name?
No, I don't. And I would, like, if I was, I'm trying to picture it.
What are your parents' first name?
Joe and Michelle.
Jill and Michelle?
Joe.
Oh, Joe. I was like, what?
Joe and Michelle.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Joe and Michelle.
If we ever worked together, I don't think I would call him Joe.
I don't think I would call.
I feel weird.
You know what? I'm not usually like a Mr. or a Mrs. I just usually call like people's parents by their first name, but I think I would call your dad Mr. Hickey.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. It's your choice.
That's just me.
Your choice.
Stephen Jones admits that there was a rift between Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore. I wonder if Jerry or his dad actually realized that as well.
As much as he respects him, there's still a part of it that doesn't totally jive with what he wants out of the offense. And so I just think Mike wanted Kellen to roll, but he didn't totally 100%. You know, agree with all the philosophies.
By the way, I'm going to kind of ruin the closing bell here. Kellen Moore is getting a stock up. He did not do a good job this year. And I think he's overrated, but he went into now a better situation with the Chargers. You go from Dak to Justin Herbert. It's a good job out of Kellen Moore. But isn't it weird? McCarthy doesn't really have any problem with Dan Quinn, who's probably in more danger of taking his job, but he had a problem with Kellen Moore, and I guess it's because Moore was calling the plays, and McCarthy's probably thinking, oh, I could do a better job than this guy.
Right, I mean, Dan Quinn's calling the defense, and Mike McCarthy's never done, so it's easier to like kind of let him do his thing.
Aaron Rodgers jokes that he's not playing for the 49ers next season, or was he being serious? This courtesy of the intervention company, CBS Sports.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Cole.
Got any news you want to share with us?
Not going to San Fran.
You look great with a Cowboy star on your helmet.
Ugh. The Cowboys. Yuck. Imagine the press conferences if you had Rodgers and Jerry Jones. That would be something.
A lot of air in that room would be sucked out.
You'd have no clue what the question was after the answer. And finally, D'Amico Ryan says he wasn't interested in the Broncos.
I'm thankful for the Denver Broncos, and we had great interviews there, great people there. But when it came down to it, there is no place I wanted to be any more than H-Town. So it was an easy pick for me. It was a no-brainer to be here, all right, be home. It was a no-brainer. So it wasn't a difficult decision at all. It was very easy.
You know what my follow-up question would have been? And I didn't listen to the entire press conference, but I doubt that this question was asked. If Russell Wilson was going into his first year with the Broncos, like let's say this trade already happened in some magical world, would you still not have had that much interest in the Broncos? I get it, the Texans are drafted and all that, but I think it's more so the stench of Russ after this year is why he didn't find that job to be that attractive, because if Russ can't get back to being great, you're stuck with that contract, Icky.
And the Broncos are in a win-now mode, way better roster. We think better ownership. I mean, can't get really worse than Cal McNair. Outside of playing for him and kind of having it be your first home, everything points Denver over the Texans.
Yeah, but it's not like the Broncos have this like team that you look at and you go, okay, they're close to winning a Super Bowl. They're in an AFC West. They're right now, at best, the third team in the AFC West. They have a really good defense, but I don't love what they have on the offensive side of the ball.
If you're D'Amico, again, it's everyone's preference. Do you think you could fix it or not? He either didn't think he could or didn't want to.
Well, it's like you're building up the house from pretty much nothing, from the ground up, where the Broncos, they have the structure of the house, but you got like a busted window. You got a door that just got busted into. The driveway is all messed up, and the tree just fell in through the roof. I think that they look at the plot of land and go, okay, let's see what we could build compared to that tree that is going right through the roof of the house. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. That's a news brief coming on back.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So let's just make a quick prediction real quickly. So we talked about Brady, and Brady obviously now retiring, so that eliminates all the predictions that we had on where Tom Brady was going to land. I thought he was going to go to the Raiders this offseason. Hickey thought he was going to wind back up in Tampa Bay. So your Rodgers prediction was Miami, correct, Amundo?
Yes, sir.
And my Rodgers prediction was the Jets. Now taking Brady out of it, it opens back up the door for the Raiders with me. Now for you, you look at Rodgers to Miami. Are you still thinking and predicting that Rodgers is going back to Miami? Also with the news that Tua Tagovailoa has finally cleared concussion protocol. I will give you a free out here on the prediction if you like to do so.
You know me, I'm standing put. I don't think Tua getting out of the concussion protocol changes what Miami should do this offseason. You got to move on. Aaron Rodgers sitting there, make the move.
So you do the same thing over and over again. You are the kid that gets told, don't put your hand on the stove because it could be on and it could be hot. And you put your hand on the stove the first time, nothing happens. The hand on the stove the second time, then you get burned. And then you would think you would have learned your lesson after that, but you go back and put your hand on the stove. Because we talk about this all the time. Will and should. And you said pretty adamantly there, he should wind up in Miami. But that's what I'm asking you. Will he wind up in Miami?
He will.
Okay. Because I could get on board with you if you say he should end up in Miami and Miami should move off of Tua Tagovailoa and go get Aaron Rodgers just because you don't know what the health of Tua is going to be moving forward. I just don't think Miami's going to do that right now. I think if Flores was there, I would say, yeah, that would happen. But with Chris Greer being there, and more importantly, Mike McDaniel, I think what they preach about Tua, they actually believe. And I think they want to see Tua succeed, and they're going to give him every last chance to do so. And I know it's weird to say that he failed this year because he played really well when he was on the field. He just unfortunately suffered two concussions, maybe more than that. I thought more than that. But they told you one of them was a back injury, not a concussion. I still don't get how they throw that nonsense your way. But I just feel like it's going to be Greer and McDaniel once again sticking with Tua. I really do.
I don't think if you trade for Aaron Rodgers, you're signaling that Tua stinks or you gave up on him. I think, you know me, I'm a Tua fan. I think he can be a successful quarterback. But the reality is, especially for Mike McDaniel seeing it firsthand, the three, let's just call them three, right? We all saw it, three concussions Tua suffered this year.
Yeah.
Kept him out of six games. The Dolphins lost every single one. Oh, I'm sorry, they won the last game. So they're 1-5 in the six games. And you started a third string quarterback in a playoff game. And the reality is, you cannot trust Tua to be on the field. When he's on the field, he's good. But the issue is, he's one hit away potentially from his career being over. And right now, with the team with where they are right now, when you go all in to get Tyreek Hill, when you still have Jalen Waddle on a young rookie contract, you got to take advantage of that. And that's why I think if you're, you know, Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, it's not giving up on Tua, the player. It's just the fact that right now, the health, you just can't trust him medically.
Let me just throw this scenario at you. I just want to see, I'm not saying this is going to change your line of thinking. I know where you stand on this, but I just want to throw this thought to you. When Chris Greer in the past was maybe 50-50, like I drafted Tua, but maybe we should go pursue Deshaun Watson, the owner saying, let's go get Tom Brady. You had Brian Flores there who clearly did not want Tua. So that was someone else that could push the argument on the plate, get rid of Tua Tagovailoa. Now Chris Greer is once again probably in that camp of, I drafted Tua, I want to see Tua succeed. And I would think Mike McDaniel, when he tries to put his food on someone else's plate, his food is saying, I like Tua. I want Tua to be here. I want Tua to be the guy. I don't think McDaniel is trying to pursue someone else in terms of starting over Tua for next year. If Flores was still there, I would be with you and I would say, yeah, I think that will happen. But with Flores not being there, I kind of feel like McDaniel is going to go to bat for Tua to be the guy next year.
But if you're McDaniel, if you're Greer, you just, again, had a playoff game, which you had to start a third-string quarterback because the guy you believe in Tua can't stay on the field. And it's not like concussions are like one of those injuries that you can either protect. Like, they happen. Anyway, one bad hit, and now with Tua having a few already, it's easier to get them now. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's not like an ACL or a shoulder injury. You could do some things to protect him, or if it's like even Mahomes with an ankle injury, it's going to heal up. I mean, you guess he's only more prone to them, and it's not like the hits, the Cincinnati hit was vicious, but it's not like the Bills hit we saw was vicious, and the third one against the Packers, no one even knew he was concussed until like 3 days later.
Yeah.
So it's not like these are these ugly, insane hits where he's putting himself on the line and leaving himself susceptible to these big hits. He's getting crushed. Two out of the three were pretty normal hits that, you know, were slow to on the come up of diagnosing him, and that to me is the scary part of just going forward with two as your guy.
But is there pressure on them in terms of where the contract is to move off of Tua right now? Like, Tua is going into his fourth year, so you have to make a decision on the fifth-year option. I would think for insurance purposes, there's really no harm in picking up that fifth-year option this year. But let's just say if they decline it, then it's a make-or-break year for Tua. And I think they're fine with that, because then let's say if he does not have a good year but he gets a concussion again, it's not like Greer or Mike McDaniel, I think, would get fired after this year, because everyone would just kind of be understanding, oh, unfortunately the quarterback got dinged up too many times with concussions, and then you go find that next guy next year instead of giving up all the draft capital.
I would rather take a page out of your guy Bill Belichick's book. I'd rather move on a year too early than risk this year, go with Tua, see what happens.
But you also don't know if Tua's going to get another concussion next year. Like, no one knows that.
No,
I never get another concussion again.
I would just not, if you have a chance to get Aaron Rodgers an upgrade, again, I'd rather move off a year too early than, I'll say, use the word risk next year. And let's say he does get another concussion. Then all of a sudden next year's a wash. And now then you're on the up, you know, and then you're all of a sudden have to look for a quarterback. So now next year with Tyreek Hill and her contract is already a waste.
But how long is your window with Rodgers?
I mean, not long, but aren't the Dolphins in a win now window right now? I mean, when you trade for Tyreek Hill, you're basically saying we're in right now.
Are they? I think they tried to put their young quarterback in a position to succeed, but even if they get Rodgers, you picking the Bills to finish in second in that division? You picking the Dolphins to finish second in that division?
Probably.
Oh, you're easily picking the Bills to win that division.
I don't know about easily. I would probably pick the Bills to win the East, but the Dolphins would be a playoff team with Aaron Rodgers without a doubt. And they got to the playoffs this year with Tua missing six games.
But you look at Rodgers in the NFC this past year, that conference is not good. You look at the bottom teams in that conference.
That he would get in Miami.
But I don't know. How much does Rodgers have left in the tank? I think it's fair to wonder.
Was it physically the reason for the Packers' decline this past year? I would say no. I don't think it's Aaron Rodgers' arm or accuracy or deep ball that fell off.
Had a pretty bad pass late in that game up against the Lions.
Was that a physical issue?
I don't know.
Playing with a broken thumb on his throwing hand.
Potentially.
That played into it. And we saw some inaccurate balls against the Titans and previous games where that thumb played an issue. So you should say that should heal.
Like, if you think about it this way, the Bills are definitely a playoff team next year. The Chiefs are definitely a playoff team. The Bengals are definitely a playoff team. Someone has to win the South. Right now you would lean Jacksonville. So you have three playoff spots. I think the Chargers are better than the Dolphins. I do.
With or without Aaron Rodgers?
I'm talking with
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that they just have a better roster. You look at the Ravens. If Lamar Jackson stays healthy, I like the Ravens because of their defense better. So we're talking about like maybe one spot, two spots, if maybe one of those teams fade, that are available. Don't get me wrong. Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle are phenomenal players. Let's see them, you got to go get something with the run game in there. You know, they don't have Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon in Miami. Defensively, they took a big step back. I don't know if they're a lock to make the playoffs. And I get what you're saying. Without Tua this year, they still found a way, you know, with Tua missing those games to make the postseason. But I can't sit here and tell you that roster's that great that they're a lock to make the postseason. You know, should they be able to? Yeah, you would think so. But it's not a lock in my mind. And then how long is your, like, do you think they're winning a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers?
Think's the best chance he's going to have?
Who, Rodgers?
Yeah, and the yeah.
But do you think the Dolphins are winning a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers if they're in a win-now mode?
In the next 3 years, probably, I would probably bet no. But with that said, like...
So then what's the point to give up all that draft capital?
Well, it gives you a better chance than... First, we don't know what the draft, what you have to give up. I mean, according to reports, this could be a salary dump. So you could be giving up a mid-level pick for Aaron Rodgers, potentially.
When you have the Raiders and Jets interested... Now, Rodgers may not have interest of going there. That's a different thing. I think he would want to go join Davante Adams, his good friend, right? But when you have the Raiders and Jets who are desperate, they're going to be offering a first-round pick. They will be. The Raiders
again,
and Jets.
Like you said, it's Aaron Rodgers' choice in a way where, even though he doesn't have a no-trade clause, he'll kind of tell you where he wants to go. If it's Miami or bust, you're going to do your best if you're Green Bay, but that's
but
where he
wants
to
like
go.
It's not like Miami is this like unbelievable team that's like, oh, I have to go join the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers could look at those two receivers and say, that's where I want to play. Having, you know, after having Devontae, having no number two weapon, I can go to a place with now two bona fide wide receivers after never really having that. I can see him be like, yeah, I'm in for that. And if that's the case, if you're Miami, again, I think the window is for to win a Super Bowl, it's better with Aaron Rodgers than it is right now with Tua.
Sure.
So why
but
not get
I
that
still
much closer?
Don't think when you're 13-3, 13-3, 13-3 in an NFC that does not have Burrow, does not have Mahomes, does not have Josh Allen, and you failed those three times, I just don't think Rodgers, the juice is really worth the squeeze anymore. He's not going to win a Super Bowl again. I've been the most optimistic about Rodgers winning another Super Bowl. I've been burned by it the last few times. I got learned by that. So I do think he's going to get traded this offseason. If I had to take a guess right now, I think Miami stays with Tua. I would have said a few weeks ago the Jets because I thought Brady was going to the Raiders. I think this Raider stuff is going to get done. Marco, let me ask you this. Who do you think, where do you think Rodgers, assuming that the Packers don't budge in terms of not trading him to an NFC team, in the AFC, where do you think Rodgers is going to wind up?
Jets.
Okay. So Hickey goes Miami, you go the Jets, which was my pick a few weeks ago before the Brady stuff, and I'm going to say he winds up with the Raiders.
I could see all three scenarios, and all three are good spots, and I don't think Rodgers should be turning his nose up at any of the three. But I feel like the Jets with the Woody Johnson situation and the way he's already done this once before, and he loves the big-time quarterback.
He loves the headlines.
Yeah, and the fact that the Jets are one quarterback away from being at least a playoff team, a minimum. It's something there. I think Woody Johnson would go above and beyond. The other teams won't.
Do you think the Dolphins will pursue Rodgers this offseason with Tua there?
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm with Hickey. I would. I don't look, and this is not a knock on the player itself. Tagovailoa was great this year. He really was.
One more concussion, he's done though.
To me, I'm almost concerned about the person too. Like it's a dangerous thing. When you're talking about, he was in concussion protocol outside the season.
Yeah, he just got cleared today, I think, or yesterday.
That's scary. And they didn't even know what happened until a few days later. This is not an easy situation to me.
Now, I'm not saying this is right, but this is what his family said. His family said, yeah, he's definitely playing next year.
I understand that. And I understand the player wants to do that. And I understand it makes all the sense in the world. But if you are the organization, you have to make sure that you're okay with the situation. And it's not just, one, for the player to be healthy, but two, do we want to put ourselves in a situation where this season is gone if Tua gets hurt in week one?
But then on the other side, just with the whole Rodgers conversation, I guess this is the question. Is it worth it to give up whatever capital it takes to go get Rodgers for a guy that hasn't really been able to get the job done? As great as he is individually and what he does in a regular season, he's had really good opportunities to win the Super Bowl in the last 4 or 5 years and wasn't even able to get to the Super Bowl.
I've been the first one at banging the drum of Aaron Rodgers has not done enough in the playoffs when he's had opportunities, whether it was the Bucks, whether it was against the 49ers, whatever. The first one to tell you that. However, you're talking about getting a surefire Hall of Famer who's coming off back-to-back MVP years before having this bad season with a broken thumb. Yeah, the guy still can play.
Well, we know he can still play.
Well, that's enough for me. If Aaron Rodgers
can
play...
But can you win?
Again, can you win 13 games with Aaron Rodgers? We've proven year in year. Yeah, sure. Get into the playoffs. I'll roll the dice every time on Aaron Rodgers. Will I get burned? Maybe, but I'm going to roll that dice every single year.
How much longer do you think he'll end up playing for? Because that's the other thing. If you're getting a significant draft capital, he's 38.
That's up to him, but he's got enough in the tank for me easily 3 more years.
Okay.
And if you get a window of 3 years of a quarterback, that's enough.
Hey, you give up the draft capital, you won't win anything with Rodgers. Like Allen's in that division. I think the Bills would still win that division, wouldn't you?
You know, again, we keep anointing the Bills. What the hell have they accomplished?
But just in terms of the AFC East, they win the division every year.
Congratulations. The Packers seem to win the division every year with Aaron Rodgers, too, but we poo-poo that. So, again, it means what the hell's the difference? The Bills, I feel like, is one team. We've crowned them for doing what? What exactly have they accomplished?
From where they were, though.
Great!
Wait, hold on. From where they were, and then what they've been able to do in terms of the four playoffs out of 5 years or whatever it is, they've done a good job in putting themselves in a position to see, but absolutely, yeah, they have to eventually get to the Super Bowl. Starting this past year, this has been Super Bowl or bust for the years, and this year they failed.
Again, we have a tendency to not be consistent. Anything less than a Super Bowl win for Aaron Rodgers is a complete and total disgrace and a failure. The Bills get to the divisional round, we're like, hey, look at you!
Yeah, but they also missed the playoffs for 20 years to be able to get just into that conversation consistently. Now they got to go climb that next mountain. They didn't do it this year.
Okay. Let's see when the criticism comes down on everybody else the way it comes down on Rodgers. And I'm the first one to bang that drum. Well, I was saying it 10 years ago. Guys got to do more.
If the Bills in the next 5 years don't win a Super Bowl, then absolutely. Absolutely. That's from where they were to where they are now. Now they have a path.
Great. And we're giving them a 10-year window. Aaron Rodgers, you don't do it 1 year. Boom. Again, it's different.
Well, it's more than 1 year. It's done in the last...
We need to be more consistent.
We won that Super Bowl in 2010?
It seems like a lot of guys... And granted, yes... If Mahomes doesn't win in the next 2 years, we're going to start looking at, hey, you only had one. It was the same thing we do with Rodgers in 2013. Hey, you only have one. We've been saying this for 10 years, though. You only had one. You only had one. Like, there are certain guys that are just so good that we seem to move the goalposts a little bit. For some reason, Josh Allen is not in that conversation yet. We all agree how good he is, but for some reason, we're still not getting on him yet for not getting there.
This year was a disappointment. There's no doubt about it. That's why when the GM before the start of the year said it's not Super Bowl or bust, I told him right to his face when he joined us that he was wrong for that. But the Bills are a little bit more earlier on in their lifespan than Rodgers is at the end on the back nine of his career.
Absolutely. Again, but can the Dolphins close the gap on the Bills? Why not? You put Aaron Rodgers on that team. What exactly is the big difference between the two of them? I don't see it as much as everybody else does.
Defense is much better in Buffalo.
Okay. You had Skylar Thompson. That was a 3-point game?
It was.
And they beat him during the season, too. I don't think there's that big of a gap. Okay. I really don't.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's hear from D'Amico Ryans on the type of player he wants on the Houston Texans.
Right, we want players to have a special work ethic and a relentless mindset in everything that they do. Right, that's what you're going to see from Texans football. Right, you're going to see fast, you're going to see physical, you're going to see toughness. Most of we want smart players who truly are dedicated to being the best that they want to be, and guys who are coachable, and guys who want to go win.
I know that I'm sure when David Culley and Lovie Smith got introduced, right? They said probably things that are similar, but no one was like, "Yeah, let's go," because you knew that guy wasn't either guy was going to be there for the long haul. You get that from D'Amico Ryans. It's like, okay, this is the guy that we're going to build with. And I think it's a great time right now if you're a Texans fan because you've been embarrassed the last 5 years. You've been a laughingstock the last 5 years. And now you finally have a guy that's going to start to build back up the house in D'Amico Ryans. So give D'Amico Ryans a stock up. Davante Adams gets to go closer to home and now maybe getting Aaron Rodgers. You leave Lambeau, you leave Green Bay, you go to Las Vegas in a trade, and then a year later, you may be getting your quarterback back. Give a stock up to Davante Adams. There's a petition with over 15,000 signatures to have one person flip the coin for the Super Bowl. Hickey, any idea who that person is?
No.
And it's a great idea, and it should happen.
Donna Kelsey.
Isn't that great? That should happen. Whoever created that petition, stock up. Kellen Moore. He went from the Cowboys with Dak to now you get to coach Justin Herbert. And you don't have to deal with Mike McCarthy hating your guts. Give Kellen Moore a stock up. Willie Gay. Been on the show before. Was on just as recent as last week. Said nothing impressed him about the Bengals offense. After the game, there's a video of him asking Ja'Marr Chase for a jersey, and Ja'Marr Chase was like, hell no. Willie Gay, you said you're nothing impressed you with the Bengals offense, and then clearly you're impressed enough with Ja'Marr Chase to want his jersey. I think that's a bad look for Willie Gay's stock down. Jerry Jones talking about patience and trying to pick his way to win a Super Bowl and trashing teams like the Eagles and the Rams. Just put a sock in it, Jerry. All right, zip it. Stock down, Jerry Jones. And finally, there's this report that many candidates don't want to take the Cardinals job because they're afraid of being tied to the hip with Kyler Murray for the next four seasons because of his contract of 5 years and $230 million that he signed in late August. Not a good look for Kyler Murray, because that means a lot of coaches don't believe that you're going to be worth that money. Stock down to Kyler Murray. Big thanks to Carrington Harrison. Big thanks to Vernon Davis. Big thanks to each and every one of you. Big thanks to my producer extraordinaire. We'll be back tomorrow. Final show before we go out to Arizona for the Super Bowl week. Talk to you at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.